Mind Your Farm Business on realagriculture.com is brought to you by RBC Royal Bank.
Welcome to the Mind Your Farm Business podcast brought to you by RBC Royal Bank. I'm Sean Haney, founder of realagriculture.com and the host of Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147. You can find more episodes of this podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com or finding it on iTunes. Women have always played a major role in the success of the farm. Actually, if you think about it, women have always had a major impact in the agricultural industry. They're the achievements of people like Mary Dell Chilton, who discovered the BT corn trait for corn. Or how about Dr. Ellen McLean from Nova Scotia, who was active with the Associated Country Women of the World and the formation of the National Farm Women's Conference? Or what about people like Joanne Booth from Manitoba, who led SIGI and the Canola Council of Canada? Women have played a huge part in the growth of our industry. Today's topic is women in agriculture, and we're going to chat with a panel of female agriculturalists who come from different backgrounds, experiences, and perspectives, but all three of them have one thing in common. They love agriculture. Let's meet our panelists. So let's start off this panel on women in ag, introducing our three panelists. We'll start with Sandy Brock. Sandy is a farmer based outside London, Ontario. Sandy, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you, Sean?
Good. Hey, Sandy, tell us a little bit about your operation.
Sure. My husband Mark and I are running a third generation farm here up. We're in the Hensel area, actually. So lots of edibles and soybeans and corn grown up this way. We do that. The primary operation is a grain operation that we are trying to keep a grain operation this year, trying to keep it above water. And on a side little venture, I also run a sheep farm. So sheep and grain is our primary farm.
Well, and you do a fantastic job with your YouTube videos and on Facebook communicating, you know, the issues like and the good and the bad of sheep farming.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, for sure.
That's the part that's so cool. So transparent about it. It's not like, hey, this, you know, every day is not a great day. Like on any farm, every day is not a great day. But here's just what's going on.
Right. Yeah. And that's really what it's supposed to be. It's not there to convince people to think a certain way or do a certain thing. And I'm definitely don't put myself out there as an expert if it's a peer. It's really just, for me, it's almost just journaling my day, and I just share it with the general public. And it's going over really quite well, just because people know that I'm not trying to be something I'm not, and I'm not pretending I know what I'm doing, and I'm just bringing people along for the journey. And I think even people I watch, I like seeing how they do it. Like, I like seeing how they stumble and seeing how they, they become resilient and share the successes with them and not just the failures. So that's what kind of the vision of the channel, I guess.
Yeah. Well, one thing's for sure, we know no matter where you're farming in Canada in 2019, it requires resilience. That is the word of the year. Absolutely. Okay, let's work a little bit further west, and our other panelist is Fiona Yoakum, farms with her family outside of, now, St. Xavier, right, Fiona?
Yeah, St. Francis Xavier, so just west of Winnipeg, there along the Assiniboine River, and I just came back to the farm, so I grew up on the farm all my life, and now I found myself back here working full-time with my parents, and we also farm with an aunt and uncle as well, so we have multiple families working on the farm, and we are a grain farm, in the past, we did venture in some other things. We had some new-picked strawberries, and that's kind of where I had my first introduction into working in the agriculture industry. I was really involved in that part of our farm a few years ago, and now we're just grain farming, and I've transitioned into that. So, yeah, we're growing mainly canola, soybeans, wheat, and oats. That's our primary rotation out here. So
Fiona, yeah. Fiona, did you always know that you were going to go back to the farm?
No. I I didn't. I grew up, my dad, he was always like, you know, ever since I came out of the womb, I knew I was going to be a farmer. And I was not one of those people. I really enjoyed the rural life, the farm life, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And yeah, I really enjoyed working on the strawberries, being out in the field, working with the people and talking to people about agriculture. And when I graduated from high school, I was kind of humming and hawing and not sure what to do. And then I learned about a two-year diploma program at the U of M. So I decided to take that. I figured, oh, it's short, so I can do it. And then at least I'll be employable and then go from there. And, well, I really enjoyed it and I couldn't get enough of it. So then I stayed on and got my degree in agribusiness and worked in the industry for a while, did some traveling and worked on farms overseas. And now I'm back at home on our farm. So,
well,
I'm loving it. So.
Yeah, that's good. I've heard your dad tell that same story about out of the womb, I knew I was being a farmer. And quite frankly, I believe him. So, our third and final panelist is somebody that I have had the fortune to be able to talk to on a bi-weekly basis here on realagriculture.com, talking about the cattle markets, but she also ranches near East End, Saskatchewan. That is Ann Wasko. Ann, how's it going?
I'm good, Sean. Happy to be on the panel with everyone.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about the beef markets today, though. That's going to be hard for the two of us to do that. But and you're the sort of the opposite of Fiona. You know, she grew up on a farm. Your background wasn't from agriculture. Give us a bit of your background.
Yeah, well, I guess in a small way, raised in British Columbia, small, you know, kind of hobby type farm, always in 4-H. I wouldn't say, you know, not completely in agriculture. And but certainly 10 years ago, I moved to Saskatchewan and found and married my love of my life. And Barry and I ranch in southwest Saskatchewan. But it's on a big scale now. So it's completely changed. And that period in between, you know, 35 years as a market analyst, a great deal of it with the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. And then in the last little while with Gateway Livestock. So lots of variety. But I think I could safely say ag's always been in my life, but it's certainly been in different faucets.
Well, great stuff. Awesome. So, Anne, we'll start with you. You know, there's been a lot of discussion and promotion of women in agriculture, more so, I would say, in the last 5 years, and really people talking about it. We have conferences dedicated to it. We have, you know, for example, this podcast episode talking about the topic. Women have always played a significant role on the ranch or on the farm, but why do you think now it's coming more to a public light for people to promote it and talk about it? Why do you think that change happened?
Well, I think it's a good question, and I don't think there's a solid, or in my opinion, there's probably not a solid answer, but I look at, as I've watched the change, and of course I've gone through a lot of that time frame, that I look at internet, social media, and just this younger generation, of course, as we refer to the millennials, they operate differently, and we see it in the food business. They speak up, they want to know more, and then of course just taking up the whole next level to the female side. So it's wanting to know more, wanting to be involved, asking those questions, and like you said at the beginning, we've always had women involved in agriculture, but now it's at the forefront. So I think it has a lot to do with that communication, the ability to communicate how we do today and on the internet and social media.
Now, Sandy, one of the things is that I think too is that no longer are women, and rightly so, no longer are they being pigeonholed, right? So my grandma Mahalko, she was heavily involved in the farm, except she never touched a tractor, right? She had a role that was very, very traditional. And that part has really changed, because I know with all three of you, you're riding horses, driving tractor, you're doing all the things that your male counterparts are. And that pigeonholing has changed, Sandy.
For sure. And I mean, I'm a product and looking back, I'm glad I am, but I'm a product of the 80s. And that means my mom and dad only had three girls. So if that whole notion of only the boys can do it, dad was like, sorry about your luck, but we don't have enough money for hired help. So guess what? you guys are going to get us through this terrible decade. And it was just never a thought that we couldn't do it. Was it frustrating? Yes. And the biggest thing, social media is a big one. I agree with Anne. A couple other things I'm noticing too is technology in our industry is making some of these things a little bit easier. And for me, having some of this, like a lot of people look at my operation, they say, "Well, you're way overcapitalized." And I'm like, "Listen, I have no one I can count on here. Like if Mark was away or the kids are at school, I'm by myself and I need this stuff. I need a tractor that'll work. I need a feed cart. I can't feed 400, 500 ewes by hand." And we've equipped ourselves to work to my strength or even to maybe my limitations. And so I think we've invested a lot in agriculture, in innovation and technology that's helped women do a little bit more. Whereas before, some of the stuff's just heavy and dangerous, maybe even. So I give that credit. I also give credit the fact that agriculture has been a booming economy. And in that, there's been a lot more jobs. So I think you just see a lot more women in either on the farm or even in just, we can't farm without that network of resources around us, whether that be seed providers, agronomists, even women in tractor dealerships. I'm seeing way more of that. I love seeing a woman behind the parts counter at my local John Deere dealership. Like you're seeing more women because I think there's more opportunities. And that's a lot to do with farm level improving profits and generating opportunity in our whole rural society around us. And I think that has to be given some credit too, but definitely my role, I don't do what my mom did and I don't do what my grandma did for sure on the farm, but I think it's because I was raised that way.
Yeah. Our we're raised or our backgrounds as kids really do has a major impact on how, not only how we operate, but our viewpoints on some of these things. Now, Fiona, you recently came back to the farm. You were working in industry, in sales, yep. I believe. So you moved from that role to being on the farm. How was that transition as a woman in ag?
Well, it's had its ups and downs, and I don't know if being female has a huge impact on that or not, but more so just it's been a huge learning curve for me. So I grew up helping out on the farm, but it's a little different just helping out here and there versus being here 100% of the time and doing all the jobs, like all the work that needs to be done. Everyone needs to take part and do their share, and from important jobs like putting the seed in the ground all the way to odd jobs like greasing the drill or cleaning the windows or something like that. Like every job, it needs to get done. And I'm kind of lucky I've had the opportunity this year to do all of it. So, yeah. Or have a stab at it. So yeah, I would say the big hurdle for me has been the learning curve. And I'm a little bit of a perfectionist, and it's hard for me to come into something where I don't know all the answers. And sometimes it frustrates me a little bit that I don't know what to do, or sometimes you make mistakes or whatever, and that's just all part of learning and being on the job. So those are kind of some of the hurdles that I deal with. But yeah, I'm pretty thankful to have a lot of women in ag role models. So I think that's something that has definitely influenced me on my ag journey, and how the others were talking about how there's more and more women in ag. And I think for my generation, and for me specifically, part of that is because I've seen more women in ag and so many women role models. So I think, oh yeah, this is something that I can do. Like if I see the other women doing it, then that gives me a lot of encouragement. So
yeah. A prior episode on this podcast, the Mind Your Farm Business podcast, we did we did an episode on mentoring and being the mentee, or, you know, both roles with Deb Stark, former Deputy Minister of Agriculture in Ontario. So I encourage people to listen to that. You know, and I know you've been a mentor to a number of people, women and men in the cattle industry. Having those mentors is such a big part of growing in this industry, whether you're male or female.
Well, and I was going to echo just what Fiona said. I mean, sitting where I am, and whether you're talking about role models or whether you're talking about an official mentorship type program or a lot of unofficial type mentorship type programs, I've been involved on at both levels. And I think back about how much I can share one direction, but I learn a pile from the younger mentees that I've had the pleasure to work with over the last 5 or 6 years. And it's truly a two-way street, and we can share in these different levels of an experience and time frame that we've been involved in the industry. But I go back to think about it's the people part of the business that, you know, when I get to look back and say what was the best part of being involved in ag, I have to say people. And there's no question, a lot of them have certainly been the woman friends and mentors and mentees that I've met along the way. So it's been a big part of life in the last little while.
We're going to get right back to our discussion about women in agriculture, but first, a word from our sponsor. This episode of the Mind Your Farm Business Podcast is brought to you by RBC. Today's producers are thinking hard about where they want to go and what moves to make to get them there. A business plan is your roadmap to success. Without one, it's easy to get lost along the way. You can count on the services and expertise RBC offers to help you meet your business goals and chart a course to success. Visit rbc.com/chartyourcourse to find an agriculture account manager near you. Sandy, your husband Mark, heavily involved politically. He was chairman of the GFO for a period of time. I know you've been politically active with Ontario Sheep. I would like to get your opinion on this idea of whether or not we have enough women on some of the boards in our organizations. I guess, first of all, like, one of the things that I struggle with, and I get very differing opinions from a lot of women in this industry, is the idea of like something like a quota where, we need 3 women on our board. And that becomes the focus. What is your, like, is that a good thing or a negative in your mind?
Well, to be honest, if I knew I was one of the 3 women that they needed a quota for, I wouldn't put my name up, because I want to earn my spot there. And I want someone to notice that I want someone to notice my voice and notice what I could bring to the table and want me there. I don't want to be there because of my gender. And I do realize I've been back and forth on this conversation so much, but I think in my gut, my underlying gut, I think we choose not to be there. I really do. And sometimes I just think we got a lot on our plate. And I don't even think this is a woman only thing anymore. I find it even at just our committee level, there's just the lack of engagement and people wanting to step up. And I think it's time. I just think we're busy. We're trying to put our families, you know, give more priority to family, I think. And we're trying to do a lot. We're running multi-million dollar farms and businesses. And I think stepping up is just a huge commitment, whether you're a male or a female, I'm finding. And I'm finding sometimes the people that are standing up to the ones that just maybe have some of them have some more free time. And that's not necessarily the people you want there either. Like, quite often the ones you want there are the ones that have such a big, they've got so much to lose to be there. And yet they're the voices you want to hear. So I'm really on the fence on this whole, I don't think it's because, yes, I think there's not enough women on boards. But I feel like it's our choice to be there. And I really think there's enough strong women that I know in this industry that if they want to be on a board, no one's going to stop them. So, like, yeah, and honestly, it's not for me on a board. Diversity is not gender. I want diversity of thought. Like, I want people from all different. I love our sheep board because, yes, we have women, but it doesn't even matter. The I look around that table and there's so many different sheep farmers there. And I think that is huge when you're trying to be a board to represent your members. It's nice to have a real cross section of how they farm their sheep. And instead of a whole bunch of like minds doing all the same things, raising all the same sheep, I just find, I think diversity of thought gets you farther than this whole gender stereotyping and needing a woman to be there. I think you just need someone there that's got a lot to add. And yeah, and I don't know. That's where I don't think my opinion's popular, but it's one that I feel in my gut, honestly.
Well, and like I said, I get a wide spectrum of answers when I ask those kinds of questions. We even saw it in after the last federal election, where you know we do have now a gender equal 50-50 cabinet, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where a lot of that same sort of discussion kind of happened, right? It's the same thing. So you know, Fiona, you're a young person in the industry. You just came back to the farm. I know your dad is very politically active. Is that something that you would ever step out as a woman and say, you know what, hey, I want to run for an election on one of these crop commissions or a livestock board?
I definitely think it's important to be involved. Like politics or policy plays such a huge role in our businesses and how we are able to operate. So, yeah, definitely think it's very important to be involved, because if you're not out there speaking up, then who is? So absolutely very important, and something that I'm interested in. And kind of to what Sandy was saying, I don't feel like I'm ready yet. But that being said, lots of people say no one ever feels like they're ready to be on a board. It's kind of one of those things, you just have to go do it and you learn as you're going. Kind of like the 4-H motto, learn to do by doing, and then you're able to do well that way. So it's definitely something that's on my radar, but not something that I'm jumping up to do right now, kind of focusing on figuring out my place on our home farm. But yeah, definitely on my radar, and I think it's important to be involved for sure. And I feel support that way too. Like, people have approached me and said, are you thinking about being involved in these sorts of things? So I don't feel like there's any kind of pushback for women or young people to be on board. So I see a lot of support that way, which is good.
Now, Anne, I've seen you speak lots, and you do a great job in front of crowds, and crowds, you're able to connect to them, and you always have a great sense of humor. You've spoken to a lot of crowds about the beef markets across this entire continent, and probably a lot of times, especially, you know, in the early days, it was entirely men. How did you, like, was that ever intimidating, or you just seem like somebody that just sort of busted through that and never really cared?
Well, I guess back at the time, though, in fairness, Sean, you didn't really know any different. When you went to a cattle producer meeting, it was male cattle producers. But I'll tell you what, things have changed. And, you know, last night I was speaking at a producer meeting in Regina, and lots of couples, or certainly a younger generation as well. And if I went around the room, it was probably awfully close to 50-50, because it was the couples had come to hear the event. And I've noticed that change as we've gone forward, both in age. I see the general membership around, or the people that are coming to these meetings, younger. And then also, certainly, I'm not the only female in the room, as it was, like you say, 10, 20, certainly 30 years ago. So I didn't really think about it much then. Now I can look back and say, wow, things have changed, and certainly, in my opinion, for the better.
Yeah, I always love your opening joke, and it's always a joke that only Anne could get away with telling.
Well, sometimes now, today, it might be considered a tad sexist, but anyways, I do get away with them, yeah.
Absolutely. So, Anne, for you, what is the best thing about being a female in this industry?
Well, I thought about this and I wondered, you know, certainly, as I said a minute ago, the people piece. Maybe it's because I am a woman, I can go from both sides and kind of feel free to speak my mind and whatever that might be. Having said that, and I think Fiona kind of mentioned, I'm not pigeonholed into this is what I'm going to do. And you know, I can do anything I want. I can ride a horse today. I can go and speak in front of a group tomorrow. And so I've got this freedom, and I don't know if that's being a female, but I've got this freedom in this business to do whatever I want. And I sure hope that's the kind what I can show to the generations following behind, that we can do whatever we want in this business. And I hope part of that's because I'm a woman.
And there's so many opportunities in the industry, right? So if you're interested in plants, there's roles there as a, you know, in agronomy or animal health science, or maybe it's somebody that wants to be in a lab coat behind a microscope, or somebody in sales. There is opportunities abound and jobs open right now that can't be filled. There's a huge demand for people in our industry, whether you're male or female. Fiona, for you, what do you think is the best part about being a woman in this industry in your early days in your career?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this, and I don't know if it has so much to do with being female or if just being a young person, but I've just felt so much support from my friends, family, and community. It seems like any time I go out, someone is coming up and asking how things are going, how seeding went, what's happening, and saying how they're so proud to see me on the farm and so excited. And yeah, that just makes me feel really good. And anytime I kind of am worried, or you know, the markets go down or something happens, I just think of all the support that and encouraging words I've heard from the people around me, and that picks me back up again. And so yeah, I really appreciate that. So basically, I guess that sums it up to the people in the industry. They're just so great. It's a wonderful community to be in.
Sandy, how about you?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, these girls are awesome. So again, yeah, definitely the network and the people in the community. And beyond that, you know, we get to, I don't have a commute in the morning. I say this every morning. I can wear my pajamas on and my coveralls every day. And I can walk to a barn and I can be having the, it's been a, I'm not gonna lie, it's been a terrible spring. It's been hard to keep positive. And you know, I'm just starting to lamb here the last couple of days, and it hasn't been going great. And then when they start coming out really good and really healthy and really happy, it can turn like your worst day on its head, and it fills you with joy. And I think that's this whole nurturing and just finding your calling. And it's taken me a few different egg industries, but I with the sheep, for whatever reason, I feel like I feel at peace with who I am, and to be surrounded by just nature and rain and sun, and the fact that perfect strangers will comment and write me and say, I would love to have your life. And that is, to me, a huge reminder of how lucky we are. And that we do a lot of complaining, but I bet you majority of the population would trade places with us any day. And I'm very grateful for what I get to do.
So Sandy, where do you think the future goes with this topic? I think, you know, what I've heard from all three of you is that we've sort of normalized the participation of women in the industry. So is there something that's next, or some sort of other barrier that has to drop, or is it just a continuation of what we've been seeing?
I would love to just keep seeing money spent in technology and innovation to make it just that much safer and that much easier. We just aren't built the same way as a man. My only limitation on the farm is the frustration of not being able to put a PTO on, and like just little things that, yes, practice probably will make perfect, but sometimes things are just heavy. And there will be nothing stopping women if we were, A, just if I worked out every day and was huge. But we cannot help our physical limitations of like how we are built, how we are made. But we most definitely, we can make products and innovations and equipment that even friggin' work boots that fit us. Like we can do some things that will help stimulate women to, or help motivate women to be in our industry. And and feel confident in their job and in their work. As for the whole conversation, my dream is in 5 or 10 years, there won't be conferences. There might be conferences just to get together and socialize, but I would really like to see no gender issues back and forth. Like, I look at my kids, they don't even give it a second thought as to where I will be in a day. Like they don't, I look at them and I see the hope of tomorrow. It's not going to be an issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. I really appreciate all three of you doing this. This has been a lot of fun. It's been a great discussion. And honestly, I can say, Sandy, I second your words there that hopefully in the future, at some point, there won't even be a need to have topics like this, but I extremely appreciate all three of you participating in the discussion on the topic. Everybody, thank you very much.
Sean, you did not a bad job for being a guy, too.
See, I told you. She likes to get the shots in there.
I had to get the last word in. That's right.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I really appreciate everybody.
Thank you.
Some great perspectives from our panel today. I want to thank Sandy, Fiona, and Anne for their insight and honest opinions on some of the big issues of the day. I hope that you enjoyed today's discussion. If you have any feedback at all, please email me at shaney@realagriculture.com. You can also find more episodes of the Mind Your Farm Business podcast by going to mindyourfarmbusiness.com or downloading the podcast on iTunes. Thanks to RBC Royal Bank for being our sponsor. And until next time, keep on minding your farm business.